So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 33. Na gayanti hi artheshu yavishtam angrim abhivadanam chandobhyam anyatram na brahman vayaham jayishtasyam karanam nagaryanti arteshu nagaryanti arteshu yavishtangre abhivadanam Channobhyo Nyatrana Brahman Channobhyo Nyatrana Brahman Vayujyastasya Karanam Vayujyastasya Karanam Nagayanti Arteshu Yavishtangri Abhyavadanam Chandobhyo Nyatrana Brahman Vayojyaishtyasya Karanam. Na, not. Garyanti, forbid. He, indeed. Artheshu, in acquiring interests. Yavishta Angri, at the lotus feet of Arjuna. Abhivadanam, offering obeisances. Chandobhya, the Vedic mantras. Anyatra, apart from. Na, not. Brahman, O Brahmana, Vaya, age, Jyeshyasya, of seniority, Karanam, the cause. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The demigods continued, do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation. Purport. It is said, Vriddhatvam Vayasavina. One may be senior without being advanced in age. Even if one is not old, one gains seniority if he is senior in knowledge. Vishwarup was junior in relationship to the demigods because he was their nephew. But the demigods wanted to accept him as their priest, and therefore he would have to accept obeisances from them. The demigods explained that this should not be a cause for hesitation. He could become their priest because he was advanced in Vedic knowledge. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit advises, Nichad Apyutamam Jnanam. One may accept education from a member of a lower social order. The Brahmanas, the members of the most elevated Varna, are teachers. But a person in a lower family, such as a family of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas or even Sudras, may be accepted as a teacher if he has knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of this when he expressed this opinion before Ramananda Rai in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Text 128. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra ke nenaya ye krishna tattva veta se guru haya. It does not matter whether one is a brahmana, sudra, grihastha or sannyasi. These are all material designations. A spiritually advanced person has nothing to do with such designations. Therefore, if one is advanced in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his position in human society, he may become a spiritual master. The demigods continued, "Do not fear criticism for being younger than us. Such etiquette does not apply in regard to Vedic mantras. Except in relationship to Vedic mantras, seniority is determined by age. But one may offer respectful obeisances even to a younger person who is advanced in chanting Vedic mantras. Therefore, although you are junior in relationship to us, you may become our priest without hesitation." So who are the demigods speaking to here? You've been following this chapter, right? You're on verse 33, so at least a month, right? If you do one verse per day, at least for the last 1 month, you've been reading this chapter. So who are the demigods speaking to here? It's been too long. Do you do this on a? Did you do this chapter on a regular basis, or I was just given the verse that you do it on a regular basis? Oh, okay, yes. So those, how many have been following it on a regular basis here? Wow. Yes, Mataji. Who are the demigods speaking to here? Yes, they're speaking to Vishwarup. Why are we reading about the demigods and Vishwarup? So, in the beginning of the sixth canto, Parikshit Maharaj in chapter 4, he asked Sukhdev Goswami that you please tell me more about the creation, you know, what happened after Swayambhuva Manu. You know, what happened to his children, who did they get married to, how did the world get populated? Right. So, Sukhdev Goswami in the last chapter, he narrated 60 daughters that were given to different sages for population of the world. And he explained how from each of them, birds came about, bees, reptiles, plants, mountains, so on and so forth. So how the whole entire world was populated through these 60 daughters of Manu are given in the previous chapter. And then towards the end, he said that one of the daughters got married to Tvashta, and they begot a son named Vishwarup, who the demigods accepted as their spiritual master, because Brihaspati had left them. So he ended the chapter like that. And naturally, someone tells you that, you know, oh, the spiritual master of the demigods rejected them, and they had to approach another devotee, or rather another demigod as their spiritual master. So naturally the curiosity is increased. So what followed is, Parikshit Maharaj then asked, please tell me, how is it that Brihaspati rejected the demigods? How is it that he refused to become their spiritual master? So that is how this chapter started. Now, I don't know how long ago you all went to Mayapur and how many days you spent there, but maybe if you remember something from the beginning of the chapter, what was the reason Brihaspati rejected the demigods? What was the reason? Anyone knows? Offense, yes. When one day Indra was sitting with his wife, who's his wife? Sachi Devi, yes. He was sitting with his wife on the throne in the heavenly kingdom, and they were all the different kinds of demigods, the Vidyadharas, Charanas, Siddhas, the Apsaras, they were all engaged in worshipping him, singing nice songs, offering him puja. And in that way, the ceremony was going on, and Brihaspati walked in. He came in. But Indra, He saw Brihaspati coming in, but he continued sitting. He did not offer any sort of respect. Not even just bowing down the head, acknowledging that, yes, Brihaspati has come. No, he just continued, oh, I'm being worshipped. Let me be worshipped. Right? So Brihaspati, at that point, he knew what would happen in the future. So he didn't bother cursing Indra. You know, usually Munis are very angry. So if you offend them, immediately curse. Finished. Right? We hear so many stories about Durvasa Muni being like that. And you offend him, immediately you get cursed. So Brihaspati, because he knew already what would happen to the demigods, so he silently left. He silently left. Then Indra, after some time, he got the realization that, oh, I think I saw Brihaspati coming in and now I don't see him. So where has he gone? So then all the demigods together went looking for him. But they could not find him anywhere. He was nowhere to be found. So then Indra started lamenting. Oh, I have so much pride in me. Because of my material opulence, because of my attachment to my wealth, I have disrespected my spiritual master. I condemn myself. I condemn myself in the strongest possible ways. So, actually, in those purports earlier in the chapter, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that as soon as someone gets some wealth, they become proud. Before, you only had a two-wheeler, now you have a four-wheeler. So immediately, yes, you find a scooter on the road, you honk like anything, you know. Get out, this is not your road, this is my road now. I have a four-wheeler. And someone who has a small car gets a big 4x4 drive, he thinks, oh yes, you can see it on the roads every day. Right? The different levels of pride. Yeah. The two-wheeler will honk at the pedestrians. Oh, this is not your road. You're not supposed to walk here. This is for me, you know. I used to be like you, but now I've got a scooter, you know. I've got a motorbike. So this road belongs more to me than to you. Right? And so on and so forth. We see that. So, Indra, this pastime teaches us that actually wealth is very, very dangerous. Yeah. Indra was proud. He had got wealth. Oh, I am king of heaven. Everyone, look. Vidyadharas, Charanas, Siddhas, Apsara, everyone worshipping me. So therefore he decided, oh, I am king of heaven, I don't need to worship my guru. Yes, he can come, he can wait until my puja is finished, then I'll look after him. So therefore, Brihaspati, in order to teach Indra a lesson, disappeared. Then what happened? What happened to the demigods? They got attacked by the demons. Kesha Murari Prabhu knows the whole pastime. Right? They got attacked by the demons. Right? There is always an eternal fight. Just like here you have eternal fights of political parties. You know, one party is always fighting with the other party. So even in the heavenly kingdoms, there is always an eternal fight between demigods and demons. Sometimes one party wins, sometimes the other party wins. Right? So the demons, they came, they took over Indralok, they chased all the demigods away, and the demigods were left without any position. So then they ran to Brahma and said to Brahma, oh, you know, demons have attacked us, please give us a solution. So Brahma then scolded them. He said, obviously they've won over you. Why? Because the demons were worshipping their guru. Who is the guru of the demons? Shukracharya. Right? He said the demons became powerful because they were worshipping their guru. And you became weak because you did not worship your guru. You offended your guru. So this also teaches us Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Balaram Sumaya Ki Jai. This pastime teaches us that actually, if we do not have the blessings of the Guru, nothing good can come to us. Nothing good materially and nothing good spiritually as well. To offend the Guru is very, very big offense. So then the demigod said, okay, yes, we've offended Brihaspati, we want to apologize to him, but we can't find him. Now the demons have our place, we can't find our Guru, so what do we do? So then Brahma said, you accept Vishwarup as your Guru. So therefore we are reading now, they have come to Vishwarup and they are praying to him, that you please become our Guru. Although Vishwarup is their nephew. So therefore, what is important for a Guru is not the background, the color, the age, the caste, but the level of knowledge. Vishwarup was young. He was very young. Younger than all the demigods there. But he was expert in chanting the mantras. Therefore, the demigods were told, accept him as your Guru. We find a similar example of someone who was very, very young being accepted amidst very exalted personalities as a Guru. Who knows? Sukadev Goswami. Right? Sukadev Goswami, when Parikshit Maharaj approached him, Vyasdev was sitting there, Narad Muni was sitting there, Asita, Devala, so many big rishis were sitting there. But as soon as Sukadev Goswami came, they all stood up. Except for Narad and Vyas, everyone else stood up. Because they could recognize that, no, Sukadev Goswami, although he's young, he knows the science of the Bhagavatam. So therefore they accepted him as a Guru. So the primary requisite of a Guru is that he should know the science of Krishna. Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the soul. It's not on the platform of Varna and Ashram. Here in India, we have difficulty because sometimes, you know, people think, oh, only a Brahmana can be a Guru. Or only a certain person from a certain place, from a certain family can become a Guru. Everyone else, that's not important. No. What Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness is on the level of the soul. And for the soul, there is no designation. You cannot call a soul a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. So much so that the soul has no gender. We cannot say a male soul and a female soul. No. Male and female is related to the body, not to the soul. Therefore, one who is a devotee, one who is Krishna conscious, he is automatically a Brahmana. Why? Because he develops the qualities of a Brahmana. Yasyasma bhaktir guna, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat, what's the verse? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana samasate tatra samasate gura sarvatma guna. Right. That one who is a devotee of Lord Krishna, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana tatra samasate guna. That one who is a devotee of, an unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna, Bhagavatya Kinchana, that person automatically gets all the good qualities of a demigod. Right? Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna Mano Rathena Sati Dhavato Bahi. But whereas, one who is not a devotee, Harava Bhaktasya, even though he may have so many good qualities, he is still dictated Mano Rathena Sati. He is still dictated by the ongoings of his mind. He cannot control his mind. But a devotee, he has all good qualities. So therefore, a devotee automatically develops good qualities and becomes a Brahmana. More than a Brahmana, he becomes a Vaishnava. But in order to preach, Therefore, we have to be recognized as a Brahmana. Because people do not know who a Vaishnava is. Ordinary people, the general mass of people, they don't know what is a Vaishnava. But they know who is a Brahmana. Right? So therefore, in order to preach, we become Brahmanas. Although we are Vaishnavas. Anyone who takes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings can become a Brahmana. Not that we take to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and remain a Shudra. It's not possible. Right? If we accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, no matter what background we are from, if we accept those teachings, then automatically we'll come to the platform of a Vaishnava. We cannot remain a Shudra. Or we cannot remain less than a Shudra. If we are remaining as a Shudra or less than a Shudra, that means we have not accepted the teachings. Right? And we can see that practically. People who are eating meat, who are doing all sorts of nonsense, who are not following any of the four regulative principles, they've all left all those bad habits and adopted devotional qualities. Right? That is the proof that Krishna consciousness is not for a particular caste of people. It's not for a particular nationality of people. It's for everyone because it is on the level of the soul. Therefore, anyone can become a guru. But to become a guru, what is needed? He should follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And what does, we read in the purport, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? That who is qualified to become a guru? One who knows the science of Krishna, Krishna Tattva. One who knows who is Krishna. So you ask a Brajvasi, I was in Vrindavan just a few days ago. You ask a Brajvasi, who is Krishna? What will they tell you? Yes? They'll say, oh, he's a cowboy. Yeah. Or they'll say, oh, he's Yashoda Ma's son. Oh, he's the person who stole my butter. He's the person who let my cows go away. Right? Or he's the one who lifted Govardhan Hill. They will not tell you, oh, he is Krishna, Poon Pushottam, Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. No. They don't know. Right? They don't know. They have so much love for Krishna that they don't know who is Krishna. They know Krishna as Nanda Baba's son. They know Krishna as Yashodama's son. They know Krishna as Sridhama's friend or Madhu Mangal's friend. Yeah? They know Krishna as the lover of the gopis. They don't know Krishna as the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer, the Vishwarup. No. They have natural affection. So for them, they don't need to know Krishna. Therefore, Krishna comes to Vraj Dham to show us who He is. Because we don't know who is Krishna. Right? We don't know. So many people out there, you go and ask them, who is Krishna? Some will tell you, oh, He is an avatar of Vishnu. Some will tell you, He was some person in, you know, Vrindavan who is allegedly God. Or He was a mythical figure. Right? So many people don't know who is Krishna. So therefore Krishna comes Himself to show, this is who I am. This is my form. These are my pastimes. These are my qualities. In Vrindavan. And one who knows that, then he is able to become a guru. Because we do not have natural affection for Krishna. Right? We may say we love Krishna. But what kind of love is that? We have to ask ourselves. Right? If Krishna would come to us today and tell us, leave everything and come with me, how many of us would be ready? Yes, I am ready. Leave it right now and let's go. Right? We have to ask, are we really ready? First we have to ask, would we recognize Krishna if he came? Right? Krishna is known as Chaliya, right? He's very naughty. Very, very naughty. He'll not come with blue form, with flute in the hand, with peacock feather, you know, Venum Kwananta Maravinda Dalaya Taksham. He'll not come in that form. He'll come in another form and ask of surrender. So will we be able to recognize? Because Krishna is all attractive, you know. Someone has some wealth, we are attracted. Oh, he is a rich man. Someone has some beauty, we are attracted. Oh, she possesses beauty. Right? Someone has some sort of opulence, you know, one of the six opulences that Parasar Muni says, right? Beauty, strength, knowledge, fame, riches, and renunciation. Right? Bhagavan. One who possesses all these knowledge, all these opulences in full, he is all attractive. So Krishna means all attractive. Who cannot be attracted to Krishna? Everyone can be attracted to Krishna if they know who Krishna is. And because we don't have natural affection, we are not like Brajavasis, right? We don't have natural affection for Krishna. Therefore, we have to develop this affection through knowledge. We have to develop this affection through knowledge. Because in Vrindavan, Vrindavan means Krishna. Everything is about Krishna. I was doing parikrama and there were so many small stones on the road. Right? So you put your foot down and it's like a pin has picked you. Right? But the cows of Krishna, they were looking at Krishna's lotus feet, such small lotus feet, and they were saying, how will Krishna come and herd us? How will he take us to the forest? There's so many thorns in the forest. So what they decided to do? Anyone knows? They took their hooves and they smashed all the thorns in the forest. They said, there should not even be one stone or one thorn that will hurt our Krishna's feet. That is Krishna. That is Vrindavan. Everyone is thinking about the safety of Krishna. Everyone is thinking about Krishna. Not the Vrindavan we see now. Big, big luxury buildings with all facilities. Vrindavan means Krishna. Everyone is centered around Krishna. Because they have natural affection. So we need to develop this affection through knowledge. Right? That's why Krishna is giving us the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is basically Krishna telling us about himself. And he says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tatvata chakvadeha punar janma neti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the true nature of my appearance and activities immediately gets liberation. He does not return to this material world. So we need to know the true nature. And what is the true nature? Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam proktam sutre mani ganaiva. O Dhananjaya, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Right? Krishna means asam murdva. That's in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Asam murdva means there is no one equal to Krishna and there is no one higher or greater than Krishna. Everyone comes below. No one on the same platform and no one above. Everyone below. That is Krishna's position. So when we know what is Krishna's position, who is Lord Krishna, what are his activities, Srimad Bhagavatam is full about knowledge of Lord Krishna. Therefore we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore we are reading Bhagavad Gita. Right? Arjuna did not know Krishna's position. Yeah. He was thinking, Lord Krishna is my friend. Yeah. But when he saw the Vishwarup, he said, oh, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi, Ajanata Mahimanasta Vedam. Right. He's saying, oh, I didn't know your greatness. Ajanata Mahimanasta Vedam. I did not know your greatness. I used to call you, O Sakha, O Krishna, O Yadava, I used to think that I am doing you a favor because you are Vaishya, I am Kshatriya, I am of a higher caste, so I am becoming your friend. My mercy is to become your friend, because otherwise no Kshatriya would become your friend. So you're of lower caste. So I used to sit on the same bed with you, we used to eat from the same plate. But I didn't know. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So you please forgive. Forgive me for teasing you. Forgive me for thinking that I was your friend. In fact, you are my friend. It is your mercy that you became my friend. Right? So you please forgive me. Arjuna prays in the 11th chapter. Such beautiful prayers. Right? But Krishna does not like that. So immediately, as soon as Arjuna finished praying, Krishna put his curtain over again Arjuna. And Arjuna was thinking, oh, Krishna is my friend. Right? We were in Govindakund day before yesterday. And Dinabandhu Prabhu was saying that after Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and Indra found out that, oops, I messed with the wrong person here. I shouldn't have sent Samvartaka clouds and drowned the whole of Raj. I mean, I have made a very big mistake. Right? So he came and he offered obeisances to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna did not even look at him. Dinabandhu Prabhu said, not even from the corner of his eyes. He did not even look from the corner of his eyes. He did completely neglected. So therefore Indra had to bring Surabhi. Right? And Surabhi made a petition on Indra's behalf. And then Lord Krishna said, okay, what do you want? So Indra went, oh, please forgive me. I did not know. You know, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he did puja. So Lord Krishna just stood and, you know, accepted the puja. And then Indra left all the paraphernalia there. You know, aarti is made of gold, silver, jewels. So after they left, the demigods, then Krishna's friends came. And you know how boys are. Boys will always be boys. So they say, oh, what is all this? Where did this come from? And they started, you know, doing aarti again. Singing in tone deaf, you know. No tune, nothing. Like, almost like frogs croaking. They were singing and joking around with Krishna. And Krishna was laughing. He enjoyed it so much. Right? Krishna does not want formality. He enjoys the dealings of the Vrajavasis with him. Demigods, yeah, official business, that's it, finished. Right? So, when we know, through knowledge, we know the greatness of Lord Krishna, we develop affection for him, we hear about his pastimes, we hear about his qualities, about his dealings with the Vrajavasis, then we can develop affection. Under the guidance of Vrajavasis. Then true affection can come. So when we know who Lord Krishna is, then we can become a guru. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Upadikshantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. We should approach a person who is a tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshi means he knows Lord Krishna's tattva. He knows Lord Krishna's position. But unfortunately, we find in this day and age, people do not want to understand Lord Krishna. Prayana parisha sabya kalavasmini gejana manda samanda mataya manda bhagya rupadita. Everyone in this day and age are lazy, misguided, short-lived, quarrelsome, and full of misfortune. Everywhere we go, we'll find misfortune. Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, that this material world is like a salt mine. Wherever you taste, you will only taste salt. You will not taste sugar. So this material world is full of misery. But because people in Kali Yuga, they are not sufficiently intelligent to ask why they are suffering, they take the misery as happiness. Yeah, they take the misery as happiness. So, we have to approach a person who has knowledge about Lord Krishna. And this is nicely illustrated by the following story. Narad Muni was passing through a very busy bazaar and he came across a Brahmana. The Brahmana was engaged in doing yajnas. He was chanting Purusha Sakta prayers. Om Sahasra Shesha Purushaha Sahasrakshat Sahasrapad Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishta Dasan Gulam Purusha Eve. So he was continuing. Narad Muni was like, oh, very nice. He was doing yajnas, and then he saw Narad Muni. He said, oh, please accept my humble obeisances. Narad Muni, where are you going? So Narad Muni said, oh, I'm going to go see Lord Krishna. So the Brahmana said, oh, you're going to see Lord Krishna? That is very nice. So can you do me a favor? Narad Muni said, well, I don't usually do favors. But since you are such a nice Brahmana, okay, what do you want? So he said, can you ask Lord Krishna when I will return back home, back to Godhead? So Narad Muni said, okay, fine, I'll do that. Then he went down a few more shops and there was a cobbler. He was stitching shoes and he was singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he was doing his stitching of shoes and singing very nicely Lord Krishna's bhajans. So when he saw Narad Muni, immediately he got up and he was like, oh Narad Muni, I'm so unfortunate. You know, I'm just a cobbler. Please give me your mercy. So Narad Muni said, yeah, okay, fine. No, then the cobbler asked, Narad Muni, where are you going after going from here? Narad Muni said, oh, I'm going to go see Lord Krishna. So the cobbler said, oh, you're going to go see Lord Krishna. That's very nice. Excuse me. So he also asked Narad Muni for a favor. He said, you also ask Lord Krishna when it is that I will return back to him. So Narad Muni, he went to Lord Krishna and he remembered these two favors that he was asked. And he asked Lord Krishna, so what do I tell them? So Lord Krishna told Narad Muni, you tell the Brahmana he'll come to me after millions of lifetimes. And the cobbler will return to me immediately. So Narad Muni got surprised. He's like, the cobbler? No? Cobbler will return now and Brahmana, who's doing so many yajnas, who's doing so many rituals, he'll return after millions of lifetimes? Why? So also Lord Vishnu, he did not give a straight answer. We usually find that in the scriptures, straight answers are very rare. Usually the answers are all roundabout ways. So Lord Vishnu told Narad Muni, you just tell them, if they ask you what I was doing, you tell them that I was taking an elephant through the eye of a needle. Yeah. I was sewing the elephant through the eye of the needle. So you just tell them this, and based on their reply, you will understand why I have said what I have said. So Narad Muni returned. He went to the Brahmana and he told the Brahmana, oh, you know, I asked Lord Krishna, this favor of yours was not a very good, you know, favor for me to carry out, you know. I asked Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna said, you will return after millions of lifetimes. So the Brahmana said, what? What do you mean? I am Brahmana. I am doing so many yajnas. I am doing so many rituals. I am doing so many sacrifices, so much charity. I don't believe you went to see Lord Krishna. What was Lord Krishna doing when you went to see him? Now imagine, he is telling Narad Muni, I don't believe you went to see Lord Krishna. You must have not gone. So what was he doing? Narad Muni said, oh, he was taking an elephant through the eye of a needle. So the Brahmana said, see, I knew it. You did not go and meet Lord Krishna. It is impossible to take an elephant through the eye of a needle. So you are lying to me. You go away from here, please. I don't want to see you anymore. You go away. So Narad Muni understood. No, okay, that's why he's going to take millions of lifetimes. So he went to the cobbler and he told the cobbler, oh, Lord Krishna, he's very happy to receive you as soon as you end this material body. And the cobbler immediately started dancing and jumping and saying, oh, thank you, it's only by your mercy Narad Muni that Lord Krishna has accepted me. And Narad Muni said, you believe me? The cobbler said, yes, I believe you. Narad Muni said, did you know that Lord Krishna was taking an elephant through the eye of a needle? The cobbler said, oh wow, that's so wonderful. For Lord Krishna, nothing is impossible. So then Narad Muni understood, okay, this is why the cobbler is. Because the cobbler knew Lord Krishna's position. So one who knows Lord Krishna's position, only that person can become a guru. Right? And it doesn't matter whether that person is a cobbler, whether that person is a Vaishya, Kshatriya, Sudra, doesn't matter. He knows Lord Krishna's position. Whereas we may find someone who is posing as a Brahmana or who may also be a Brahmana. Brahmana doesn't mean Vaishnava. Brahmana may not necessarily know the position of Krishna. So, if we hear from people who do not know the position of Krishna, then it is like drinking milk that has been touched by a serpent. Sanatana Goswami says, Avaishnava mukhadginam putam hari katam ritam shravanam nakartavyam sarpochistam payo yatha. Just like a milk has touched, just like a snake has touched milk, right? That milk becomes poisonous. And if we drink it, then we will also be infected with that poison. So similarly, we should not hear about Lord Krishna from people who do not know Lord Krishna's position. People may ask, oh, he's speaking so nicely about Lord Krishna, you know. So what if he's not a Vaishnava? You know, he is speaking about Krishna. He's speaking about Lord Krishna's pastimes. Why should we not hear from him? But a Vaishnava must be properly behaved. That is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava will never misbehave. Right? So someone may be speaking about Lord Krishna, but if his behavior is not proper, right, then that's, if we hear from such a person, then it will be very, very dangerous for us. It will be like poison. Krishna can only be understood through a Vaishnava. We may study the Bhagavatam. Yeah, there are so many universities studying the Bhagavatam. Oxford University has a whole branch studying Jiva Goswami's teachings, including his commentary on the Bhagavatam. And they're studying. They know all the shlokas. They know all the ins and outs. But they are not Vaishnavas. Because they have not accepted the shelter of a Vaishnava. So, they may know the Bhagavatam, but they do not know the position of Krishna. Right? Therefore, it is very, very important. In order to get Krishna, we have to go through a Vaishnava. We have to accept a guru. And what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, who a guru is? Someone who knows the position of Krishna. Krishna Tattva. Someone may speak very nicely about Lord Krishna, and as soon as he finishes speaking, he'll go behind and smoke a bidi. Just take a cigarette or drink some wine or drink some beer. Vaishnavas will never do that. Vaishnavas are always properly behaved. Right? Because we are here to represent Krishna, therefore we behave properly. So Vaishnava always, he'll represent Krishna accurately. And when we hear from such a Vaishnava, when we hear from such a Bhagavata, then we can also develop the same affection for Krishna. Our whole purpose is to develop affection. We all want to go to Rajdham, isn't it? Is there anyone who wants to go somewhere else? Swargalok, you know, drink somras. No? Wow, we have so many devotees here. Right? No one wants to go to Merudweep, where there is mountains and mountains of gold, where there are such big mangoes that when they fall on the ground, there is a whole river of mango juice. And such a mango, once you taste it, you will never want to taste anything again. Where there are unlimited facilities for sense enjoyments. No one wants to go there. So we all want to go to Vrajdham. Then we must take shelter of Avrajvasi, right? And we are so lucky, we are so fortunate that we have all taken shelter of a Brajvasi. Who have we taken shelter of? Srila Prabhupada. He stayed just here in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar, for so many years. And it is because of His mercy that we can develop affection for Lord Krishna. So we are so fortunate. We should never ever forget how fortunate we are. What is the population of India? The last I knew it was 1.4 billion. Now it must be something like 1.7 billion because the world's population is over 7 billion now. It's no longer 6 billion. Right? So out of such a huge population, we are the few chosen people who have gotten the proper shelter of a Vrajvasi so that we can develop love for Krishna and then be able to enter into Vrajdham. We are so fortunate. We should never ever forget that. And when we realize how fortunate we are, then we become even more serious. That I should not do anything that will let this chance slip away. Right? Therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, only hear from Vaishnavas. Do not hear from people who do not know the real position of Krishna. Even demigods like Brahma and Indra, they mistook Lord Krishna. Right? I just mentioned how Indra mistook Lord Krishna. He said, who is this boy? Small boy. No, coward boy. Doesn't know anything. Has stopped my worship. Who is he? Then he found out later that, oh, this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? But for the Vrajvasis, he still remained at, oh, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Why he lifted Govardhan Hill? To save us. Why did he want to save us? Oh, because he is very dear to us. Nothing else. They don't know about Indra. They don't care about demigods or anyone else. They just know Krishna. So, here, in summary, basically the demigods were telling Vishwarup that because you have knowledge, therefore we are accepting you as a guru. We're not looking at your age. We're not looking at your position. We're looking at your knowledge. Similarly, we should approach a person who has knowledge about Lord Krishna and take shelter, like Srila Prabhupada and the people who are following Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission. And when we take the shelter of such devotees, we are able to gain knowledge about Lord Krishna, and this knowledge helps us to do what? Helps us to do what? To love Krishna, yes. To develop affection for Krishna. To rekindle our natural affection for Lord Krishna. And when we do that, then since all of us want to stay in Brajdham, and when we do that, then we'll be able to stay in Brajdham. So I'll end the lecture here. If there are any questions or comments, you may ask. Yes, Ru. Yes. They do know the position of Lord Krishna, but they don't want to know that. Yes? There is a difference. Yeah, the Brajvasis, for them, they do not look at the Aishwarya part of Lord Krishna. Yeah, the opulent part. Right? And we see that when Krishna disappeared from the Ras dance, and the gopis went looking for him, he came back, but he came back in a different form. He came in a four-armed form. And the gopis asked him, have you seen Krishna? So he said, yes, I've seen Krishna. Which way did he go? And then he puts both his forearms in opposite directions. So he didn't help them much. But the gopis were not attracted to that feature of Lord Krishna. Yeah. The Vrajvasis, they are covered by Lord Krishna's internal potency. That makes them forget the position of Krishna. Because if you think of Krishna as the Supreme, if Yashoda Ma was thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then she wouldn't be taking care of him. Right? She'd be saying, oh, he doesn't need to be hungry. He is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I don't need to feed him. Right? I don't need to chant mantras and do special pujas for his protection. He can protect himself. But then where is that love? Yashoda Mai is constantly thinking, oh, someone may come and take my lala. Someone may come and hurt him. So I must do this puja. I must chant these mantras. I must push this special kavach on Lord Krishna so no one touches him, no one steals him away. I must make food for him. This is why. Because Lord Krishna wants to relish that exchange. He doesn't want to relish the exchange the demigods have with him. When they did the aarti, Lord Krishna just stood silently. When the Vrajvasis were doing the aarti at Govinda Kund, he was laughing, he was enjoying like anything. Right. So he wants to enjoy that. So that cannot happen if the knowledge of who Krishna is as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present. In Vrajdham, it is one of Krishna's own potencies covers him. So Krishna also doesn't know that he is Krishna. Because if Krishna knew, oh, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he would not also be freely exchanging. Right? And therefore, when Yashoda Ma picks up the stick, Krishna becomes scared. He becomes scared. He is actually afraid. Tears come out from his eyes. He's like, oh, Maya will beat me. Let me run away. But if he knew he was Krishna, he's like, why should I run? I'll just click, the stick will disappear. I click again, Yashoda Ma will disappear. Right? But he forgets. That is the special quality of Vrajdham. Because Krishna wants to enjoy these exchanges between himself and his devotees. And if the concept of Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in those exchanges, then the exchanges are not there anymore. Okay? Yes. Yes. Yes, they offended Brihaspati, but they could not find him to ask for forgiveness. And in the meantime, who was occupying the post? Demons. Right? So in order to get rid of the demons, you need a guru. Because the demons were getting strength from their guru, Sukracharya. And Brihaspati was nowhere to be found. So they went to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma instructed them that you accept Vishwarupa. So on a higher authority, they accepted someone else as their guru. Because Vishwarupa had, we'll read further. I'm just giving a preview of what is to come. Vishwarupa had a very special kavach. The Narayan kavach. Once the demigods have the Narayan kavach, no demon would be able to touch them. So in order to defeat the demons, they required Narayan Kavach. And in order to get the Narayan Kavach, they had to accept Vishwarupa as a spiritual master. But we will find later on that even Indra, he did not treat this spiritual master well as well. Yeah, but I won't spoil the story. You'll have to find it out later on. Yes, how Indra also dealt with Vishwarupa, which wasn't very, very nice. He also blew it the second time. Indra is known to blow it quite a few times with everyone and anyone. So anyway, that is very nicely described in the... Yes. Yes. Lord Krishna has many energies. Parasha Shaktir Vividaya Shruyate. Right? So one of his energies is to cover him. So that he can engage in loving exchanges with the Vrajvasis. It's one of his energies. Right? Yes. The energy is under his control but controls him. Yes. It controls him. Right? Just like we give power of attorney to someone. Yeah. We are the original owner but we've given power of attorney to someone. So if we want, we can take the power of attorney back. But if we want, we can give the power of attorney. So the power of attorney can do whatever he wants with whatever we have given him the power with. Right? So the same way, Lord Krishna has this energy of his that covers him. Because if he knows his Lord Krishna, then the exchange is not there. He'll not feel scared of Yashodama. Right? So when Yashodama says, I will beat you, He'll say, why you'll beat me? I'm Lord. So that doesn't work. It's not sweet. To make it sweet, he needs to become covered. So the energy covers him. Yeah? Just like we give someone power of attorney, we don't want to deal with the investments and things like that, day-to-day business, all, you know. So you give someone power of attorney, someone you trust. Okay, you deal with my finances, I will just sit back and enjoy. Yeah? Same way. Yes, Prabhu. That cannot happen naturally. Right? That happens after a very long time. Yes. Yes. That's why we have how many cantos of the Bhagavatam? 12. And where does Lord Krishna's appearance and activities come? 10th. So we have to go through cantos 1 to 9. Just so that in the 10th canto, then we'll be able to forget, right, that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But before that, we have to, because we don't have natural affection, and we have to become attracted to Lord Krishna. So in order to become attracted, we become attracted by his opulences, Bhagavan, the six opulences. So we hear how he is all powerful, how he is all knowledgeable, how he is super strong, famous, rich, renounced. Then we become attracted. Yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first comes awe and reverence. We have to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead first. Then comes love. Right? So the process that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, if we follow it, eventually we'll come to that platform. Under his shelter, under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and under the shelter of the whole parampara. So we shouldn't dwell too much on the fact that, oh, I don't love Krishna at this point. That's okay, that's fine. Right? We have to develop that love, so we follow the process. And then the process will give us that love. Yeah? We're trying to love Krishna. Yeah, we are trying to love Krishna. Yeah. Loving Krishna means we are immediately ready to do anything and everything for him. But if we really analyze deep down ourselves on the Vaidhi platform and we think, are we really ready to do anything and everything for Krishna? You know, I walk by a shop and it has some fancy gadget and my head automatically turns. Oh, I'd like to have that. Right? So if Krishna came and stood next to the fancy gadget, would I be able to choose Krishna over the fancy gadget? Right? That is the question we ask in Vaidhi Bhakti. Because Vaidhi Bhakti means we are trying to purify ourselves. We are not purified completely. So there are attractions, there is lust, anger, greed. We have to get rid of that. So we are trying to love Krishna. When we love Krishna fully, then we'll have transcended the Vaidhi platform. Yes, Prabhu. How is it possible that he's talking about Krishna so wonderfully? The question is that if someone is not following Vaishnav behavior, but at the same time he is able to speak about Krishna so wonderfully, so how is it possible? Right? To speak about Krishna wonderfully, I mean, there's so many poems and poetry. You can read the Bhagavatam. Anyone can read the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is so wonderful. Sukhdev Goswami has spoken wonderfully about Lord Krishna. So if you simply repeat what Sukhdev Goswami has said, you're also speaking wonderfully. Right? But what is missing? The understanding. Yeah. If we repeat in a parrot-like fashion, Bhagavatam is so nice, so many nice, nice, beautiful verses. And we can repeat in a parrot fashion. Right? We can speak. And because the Bhagavatam is wonderful, because it was spoken by a wonderful devotee, Sukhdev Goswami, Therefore, automatically it becomes wonderful. Right? So one can speak wonderfully. That's not so wonderful. Right? Pibata rasamalayam. The third verse of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva writes, Pibata rasamalayam sukha mukhad amritam bhava. That it has become even sweeter because Sukadeva Goswami has narrated it. So the Bhagavatam is naturally sweet and wonderful. Naturally. Whoever speaks it, it will be sweet and wonderful. Because Bhagavatam is like that. But the behavior has to follow for the message to enter into the heart. That is the difference. The conviction has to follow. Right? I may say that, oh, Delhi is a very nice place. But I don't live here. So you may ask, how you know Delhi is a nice place? You've not even lived here for a month. How you can say, I don't believe. Right? But if someone who has lived in Delhi for a long time comes and says, Delhi is a nice place, it's the same words. But you will believe him more. The message will be more stronger. Right? So someone who is living by the Bhagavatam, if he speaks the Bhagavatam, then immediately the connection happens. Right? You may have a very nice mobile phone, but if it does not have a SIM card, what's the use? Right? The mobile phone is nice. It has all the facilities. It has everything. But if it doesn't have a SIM card, you might as well have no mobile, right? Because mobile means it has to have a SIM card. You want to talk, you want to, whatever you want to communicate, you need a SIM card. So one who follows the principles of the Bhagavatam, he can effectively deliver the message of the Bhagavatam. Then it is not poison, it is nectar. But one who does not follow the principles of the Bhagavatam, but preaches the Bhagavatam, he is giving poison. The connection does not happen. To speak wonderfully is not such a wonderful thing. Because Bhagavatam itself is wonderful. Right? But to speak wonderfully and follow, have the conviction, that is wonderful. Therefore, Nashta Praya Sabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Right? And the Bhagavata is of two types. There is the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Only when you serve the person Bhagavat who is serving the book Bhagavat, then all the dirty things within the heart get destroyed. Because we have so many wonderful speakers, yes. Why don't we have so many wonderful devotees? When they speak to lakhs and lakhs of people, right? One big panda, 100,000 people, 150,000 people, people watching over the TV, people watching all over the world. How come we don't have people flooding to Vrindavan saying, oh, we want to take shelter of Vrindavan? How come we have people flooding to Vrindavan and saying, I want to buy that property, put up a skyscraper, get rent? So we see the effect is happening. There is an effect, but it is not the desired effect. People are coming to Vrindavan and putting skyscrapers. They have heard about Vrindavan, they have heard about Lord Krishna, but they are not coming to take shelter of the Dham. They are coming to do something else. This is the effect. So to speak wonderfully about Lord Krishna, we just need to read the Bhagavatam. It is wonderful in itself. But to make the connection, we need to follow the Bhagavatam. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Grantharad, Mataji, yes. Mataji is asking how people in general take miseries as happiness. So, the best example I can give is of a person in jail for 30 years. Right? He is in jail. He does not see the bars anymore. He sees the jail as his home. He gets his food every day. He gets to do whatever he wants, you know, nicely within that compound. What happens when he goes out? Let's say if you were to free that person for a day, right, from jail. If we were to free him, what happens? What would happen? What do you think would happen? Yes, he might do that, but why would he do that? Yeah, when he comes out, there are no friends. There's no house. There's no food. No one's going to come. Oh, you've come out of jail. Here, take breakfast. Take dinner. He'll have to work. And he goes out and tries to find work. There's no work. Too much headache. So let me commit a crime and go back to jail. It's easier. At least I'll get food, shelter and clothing. Right? But he does not realize that he's in jail. So here, we find people are suffering. Oh, it's not that bad. No, it could be worse, but it's not that bad. It's not happiness, right? But it's not happiness, it's a lesser misery. But we're thinking the lesser misery to be happy. Yeah, okay, I'm suffering from old age, I'm suffering from disease, but it's not that bad. I'm doing good. I'm okay. It's fine. No. No need to change the situation. So therefore we find miseries, we take them as happiness. Because we don't know what real happiness is. We've been here for so long that birth, death, old age, disease, it's part of life. Right? Someone gets sick, it's part of life. It's not that bad. I'll take some medicine, I'll be okay. You'll get sick again, no problem. Right? Someone has to work from day and night, I'm happy. How you're happy, you're working day and night. No, it's not that bad. I managed to find my way around. Because real happiness has not been tasted. Therefore, we are giving real happiness. What is real happiness? Once you taste the real happiness, then you actually find out, I was suffering. Someone who eats balls of sand, right? Say, it's not that bad. It doesn't taste anything. It tastes like sand, but you give him a rasgulla instead. Will he want to eat sand anymore? No. Right? So we've been eating sand until we're like, sand is okay. Yeah, it's not that bad. It's good. Yeah, I could be eating something worse, but at least I'm eating sand. Because we don't know what real happiness is. Yeah. So in order to find out what real happiness is, we have to come to Krishna consciousness. When we experience the happiness in Krishna consciousness, then we don't want even liberation. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavitam va jagadishikamaya, mama janmani janmaishwari. I don't even want liberation, birth after birth. Because the happiness is so sweet. It's so nice in Krishna consciousness. So we have to awaken ourselves. We are suffering. The sooner we realize that, the better for us. The more longer we take to realize that we are suffering, then it becomes worse. There are four things that will never let us realize that we are suffering. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Shribhya. Queen Kunti prays. One who has a high birth, one who is rich, one who is very learned, and one who is very beautiful. So if you have one of these, it becomes hard to come to Krishna. If you have two, even harder. If you have all four, forget it. You never, because this person thinks, I am okay. I am rich, I am beautiful, I have a high birth, I have knowledge, I am not suffering. These people who don't have this are suffering. Therefore Krishna is very easily approached by those who are devoid of these four opulences. For them, Krishna is very easily approached. Because they know, the only happiness is at Krishna's lotus feet. And the others, they think, these things will save us. These things will save us. So, we have to realize what real happiness is. Because everything else is just misery. Any other questions, comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagatam ki jai. Tai Gopremanande Hari Bol.